Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11, the official podcast of Princeton football. My name is Craig Saxon, and on today's show, we will have Steven Carlson, the junior wide receiver who has really impressed many on his during his first 3 weeks as a starter. We will have outside linebackers coach Mike Mendenhall to talk about the improved play of Mike Wagner and Joe Percival, and you know, to look at some of the issues surrounding the defense that crept up last weekend. And then we will have Cody Crucial to talk about last week's game and look forward to Saturday's game with Georgetown, as well as a quick look around the Ivy League since every team has played one game. Quick note, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes, your favorite podcast app. You'll get each week's Original 11 as well as TigerCast, LaxCast, and any other podcasts directly to your phone or whatever, wherever you listen to podcasts. Quick hit on last week, obviously a disappointing game for Princeton. You know, I thought they did some good things, but kind of mixed them around with enough bad things to lose that game. You know, it had the chance to really be a pretty impressive finish. You know, you look at all the mistakes they had leading up to Carlson's touchdown with less than 3 minutes to go, and you know, put Columbia in some tough spots and on that final drive, a third and long early that they converted, and then another third down that ended up being the 68-yard touchdown. So, you know, it's one of those things you have to live with, especially with all the young players on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, sometimes living with it is, you know, surviving a close game and winning it, and sometimes it's what happened on Saturday. But, you know, you put your feet into the fire, you get burned a little, and then, you know, you go back again, and, you know, hopefully this team kind of grows from this. I'm sure they will, and we'll see kind of where they are on Saturday, 1 o'clock start against Georgetown on the Ivy League Network, on Watch ESPN, and then locally on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So a lot of places that you can watch Saturday's game. Georgetown comes in 1-3. Some struggles offensively over the last couple weeks. You know, hopefully for Princeton, an opportunity to, you know, bounce back, start, you know, connecting, executing better on both sides of the ball before that six-game Ivy stretch where you're playing four of them on the road. Really tough stretch this season. But you know what? That's the schedule, and we'll see how they are coming out of Saturday. Okay, let's get started with our interviews, and we'll start with Steve Carlson. Carlson really broke onto the scene his first start this week, this season, the 3-touchdown effort against San Diego. Caught another touchdown last weekend to give Princeton a late lead. Top 4 in the Ivy League in receptions, number 2, I believe, in receiving yards. Just a terrific start for him this season. Let's hear now from Steve Carlson.
Steve, as a receiver in this offense, you know, obviously you broke out the start of the season and you had a few seniors, you know, in front of you last year. But when did you feel like in your development that you know, you really had a grasp on the offense and what you needed to do to be successful in it?
I think for me it was last spring ball. I think in those that month we had, I really came along. I think the coaches saw something in me. They trusted in me that I could become a leader in this wide receiver group. And so I really was working hard in spring ball. And then over the summer was also a big point just from a physical standpoint. the strength coaches really investing in me and knowing that I could get to a whole nother level, and then that's where I am right now, and hopefully I can take it to even another level now.
You know, I know in the preseason, talking to Coach Cerace about the offense, he was very high on you. He believed that you would be an integral part of this offense, but did you even need that San Diego game as proof to yourself that you know, you could live up to that, or did you feel going in like, this is the player I'm going to be this year?
I felt going into the season that it could kind of be a breakout season for me, I guess you could say. I knew just from over the summer, throwing with Chad pretty much every day, and Johnny too, that we could really do something this year. Just the trust we built from last spring ball over the summer and then in camp, going into camp and going into the first game, I kind of knew in the back of my mind that it was going to be a good start. And all I had to do was go out and do my job. And everyone else would be doing their job and things would click.
You know, you've been in all the practices and played JV games and everything and spring ball and offseason and all that stuff. But how much do you learn and how much do you grow from those actual Saturdays? I mean, how much better a player do you feel you are just by playing those? I mean, I know you played some last year, but integral playing in three games.
Yeah, I think game experience is really valuable, especially in this league. You can come into the season playing your best ball and then go into the game, and it's all about performing in the game. And so I think really you just fall back on your habits and your practice habits. We come out every week and we're practicing really hard. And so we know we practice how we play. And so we have a good Tuesday practice, have a good hard Tuesday, Wednesday practice. And the rest of the week follows. And then on game day, we're to come out and do the same things that we've been working hard at in practice, and everything's going to work out.
There are times, whether it's a drive or, you know, two or three drives in a row where the offense looks almost flawless, you know, and then there are times where, you know, it's three and out and it looks so disjointed. Are you starting to get senses of like when it's not working, it's this or that? I mean, are you kind of figuring out what needs to be corrected in the games to kind of, you know, stay away from those, you know, maybe one, two series in a row where it's three and out?
Yeah, I think that goes back to the game experience, like we were talking about earlier. Like it's really tough to win a football game on the collegiate level, and we started to figure out a couple little things here and there that we know we have to get better at, and we're gonna get better at as the season rolls on, and it'll start to show. Hopefully, we won't have as many three and outs. We'll finish drives on the goal line, and We're going to be a more consistent offense here coming up, and it's exciting, and it's also a challenge to us because we know after a loss, we're having a big week of practice this week, and we're going to come out and show it in the game this Saturday.
Chad Kanoff has a chance this weekend to be, you know, the third Princeton quarterback and the 28th Ivy quarterback to throw for over 5,000 yards in a career. What makes him so good, and as a receiver, knowing you have a quarterback who can make every throw, you know, how much confidence does that give you?
It gives all of us wide receivers tremendous confidence that when we line up, we know we just have to win off a defender, and then Chad's going to put the ball where it needs to be, and that just comes through his work ethic and his mindset throughout the summer, throughout camp, and even in practice now. He's getting on us when we don't do something completely right. He knows when he does something doesn't do something completely right. And that's just the kind of football player he is. He's always trying to get better, and he's always giving his 100% effort every play, every drive, every game.
This weekend, you know, this team responded so well last year to losses. You know, what has the attitude been like this week? And, you know, you mentioned you're kind of ready to get back out on the field, but do you feel like, all right, you know, one more non-league game and then the heart of the league season, like, do you feel a kind of a renewed, I don't know if it's energy or what, but, you know, what have you seen from your teammates that you've liked at practice this week?
Yeah, I've seen at practice that we're going to bounce back. It was a tough loss last weekend, but we put that behind us already, and we know we still have a goal of winning the Ivy League championship. So we we're going to have to come out and win out the rest of the games. And I think just in the practices we've had this week, there's like a, sense of incredible work and pride going into these practices, more than I've seen in the past couple weeks. And so we know this Saturday, and then once we get into the heart of the Ivy play, we're going to be rolling on all cylinders, and we're going to come out and be attacking defenses.
Back with Cody Kruschel to look at a little past, present, future with Princeton. Got to talk about last weekend, and you know, there's so many interesting aspects of that game. You know, things that went right, but then things that went wrong, and obviously, you know, the things that went wrong at the end, you know, are what stays with you. So let's just start there. You know, we talked about this, you know, with Bob and the Football Friday, and in my conversation with Mike Mendenhall that's coming up, but you put young guys out there and new starters in the defensive backfield, and if you miscommunicate with a guy like, you know, Ronald Smith on the field, it's not a 10-yard pass, it's a 70-yard pass, and I think that's – it stinks, but that's part of playing young players.
And that was something that we knew going into last week. They had Ronald Smith. They had Josh Wainwright. Wainwright was the wide receiver as a freshman last year that burned the Tigers for that 88-yard touchdown to kind of give Columbia something to leave last year's game with feeling good about. And this year, you know, Smith goes a 46-yarder and then that 63-yarder to seal it. And when you're playing three freshmen defensively in the defensive backfield, still early on in the season, still trying to get those reps under their belt. You're right. It's one of those things that you're going to kind of have to live with.
And I think, you know, the second touchdown is the one that stays with you. But that first one was, you know, Princeton had just driven down the field to start the game. Looked like, you know, they're in total control. And then, again, Smith, it looked, you know, like quarters coverage where people are dropping back. And just nobody went with him. And that was a pretty easy pitch and catch. And look, I thought Hill played great at quarterback. I thought those are two receivers are terrific. But that one was pretty easy. And I think that, you know, now you have film. It's one thing when you have mistakes in a win. And maybe it just doesn't sink in as much. But now you have mistakes that cost you an Ivy League game. And I think you really see players grow from this. I've seen it. You know, in 16 years, I've seen really good players for this team play as freshmen and make those mistakes. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they grow from Saturday's game.
You know, we go from in the first half last week talking Anders Hill, the game manager, coming in, throwing for 165, 170 yards a game. And then you look at the box score at the end, threw for 400 yards and had a really good day and stepped up. And you know, I'm really interested to see what Columbia does this week, because I think that'll kind of determine how you go back and you look back at last week's loss for the Tigers. Still a loss for Princeton. If Columbia goes out and they jump out to a 4-0 start and they play well again this weekend, you have to feel a little bit better about what happened last week.
I think we can get into Ivy play in a second. One thing I did want to touch on in the game, and it gets a little lost based on kind of how it all ended up, but you know, we talked earlier about the potential of Colin Edie. And, you know, we saw Charlie Volker, and Charlie Volker's the starter for this team, you know, all year. But Colin Edie, it looks like he's getting the confidence. He's understanding this offense. He's not thinking as much. He's just going. And, you know, he was a little bit of like an ankle tackle away from scoring the one touchdown. Just looks like he could be special in this league.
Yeah, he looks like he was shot out of a cannon on a couple of runs. 7 carries, 62 yards, nearly 9 per carry, broke off that 30-yarder. And it's not just taking advantage of miscommunication and mistakes. He earned a lot of those yards and really didn't look like a freshman out there.
Georgetown this weekend, last non-Ivy game. Let's hit on this one quickly and then a real quick look around the league after, you know, one game for each team. Georgetown comes into the game 1-3, lost the last two to Columbia and to Harvard in games that defensively they hung in there for a while, and offensively they just didn't do enough to kind of either score or give their defense any time off the field. You know, again, another game where
this defense has to kind of take over and just kind of get into one of those dominating games that, you know, we started to see last year.
This is a great opportunity for a defense that's young, a defense that's rebuilt again this week with the injury to Mark Fassati. And you look at Georgetown, this is a team that's struggling not only to move the football, but struggling to build any kind of identity. They've split two quarterbacks, Tim Barnes and Clay Norris under center, and they can't really find one that works. They're completing 53% of their passes, and they do have some weapons. Michael Darius, 312 yards receiving, but among the lowest teams in the nation as far as rushing yards. And here's the stat that really jumps out, and one feeds off the other. Georgetown this year on third down, 20%, second worst in the nation. Four games this year, they've gotten into the red zone four times.
Yeah, that's not going to win you many football games. But I'll say this, if I'm Darius and I looked at that box score for Princeton last week, I'm licking my chops. And so for this defensive backfield, you know, this is a test to, you know, you're going to see some good receivers in this league. This is a test to go against one of them. And this is a good receiver, a chance to go up against them. Keep them in front of you. Play your responsibilities. No mental breakdowns. No communication issues. And just kind of take control of this game early.
I think Columbia, a much better team than Georgetown, but you kind of look at Georgetown, and what makes you nervous as a Princeton fan and as a Princeton player and a Princeton coach is kind of the same thing, because they have Darius, they have Isaac Ellsworth, who's a senior running back. All, you know, they list him at 5'5", 160 pounds, but ran a kickoff back 62 yards last week, had almost 300 yards of all-purpose yards last week. So there's some guys that can make plays, and we were talking about that heading into last week with Columbia, with Wainwright and Smith, and that was a big factor in that game last week. And then if you look at Georgetown, the offense has just kept their defense on the field. It's been three and out after three and out. This is an experienced defense, and this is a defense that kept them in the game against Princeton for a while last year.
One game for each Ivy League team so far in league play. And you know what? It's been interesting. I mean, the two co-champions last year both lose at home, both to teams picked in the bottom half of the league. You know, Cornell, which hasn't won a game yet, goes to Yale and is in that game for all of the first half and into the third quarter. And then Harvard kind of struggled with Brown for a little while before putting that game away. You know, it's been a while, I think, since a 7-0 Ivy League season. This doesn't feel like a 7-0 Ivy season. This one could get really interesting, and it could get interesting quick, figuring you've got two of the undefeated teams in Yale and Dartmouth playing this weekend.
If I were to ask you right now, you know, you take Princeton out of the mix, who is the favorite to win the Ivy League this year? I don't know that you can really give me an answer, and I think that has to be a little bit reassuring if you're Princeton, because you don't want to drop a home game Ivy opener like they did last week against Columbia, a team that hadn't beaten Princeton since Bob Sorace's first year in 2010. It at least has to give you a little bit of hope, because nobody's going to go through this Ivy League slate, or at least it doesn't look like anyone's going to go through this Ivy League slate completely undefeated. So you have a little bit of hope, but yeah, I mean, you're right. That is a huge game this week, and I think, you know, whoever wins that, obviously, you have to look at as one of the favorites. And it's interesting because Dartmouth, this is a team last year that was undefeated in non-conference play, and then they just went out in Ivy League play and couldn't put it together. Lost a lot of close games.
In games all the time.
Exactly.
Here.
And then Yale was kind of written off. Alan Lamar, their running back coming back from last year, he's out for the season. What are they going to do? They have two other running backs, Dudek and Salter, who are rushing for over 100 yards a game. And Kurt Rawlings is a sophomore with that year of experience last year. You know, Yale's good. Dartmouth, not only are they a good team, but they've won close games the last 2 weeks. I mean, what an incredible stretch for them. That failed two-point conversion, and was it a blocked extra point at the end of regulation? And then they come back, and they win on the goal play as time expires down at Penn last week. So a team that might not be better on paper than they were last year, but they're finding ways to win close games. So, you know, you can make a pro and a con list for four or five or six teams at the top of the Ivy League, and I think you throw the names into a hat, and we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of weeks.
Well, and I've seen enough to know what early season confidence. You win a couple of those games, you start believing that you're going to beat everybody. And I think the winner of the Yale-Dartmouth game this weekend, and then if Columbia can beat Penn, I believe that game's week five, so in 2 weeks, if Columbia can beat Penn at home, those two teams are going to be really interesting. And from Princeton's perspective, look, you get this game, then you go to Brown, which is they have had one trouble after another at Brown. You know, since 2003, the only game they've won is during that 2013 Ivy Championship season. But if they win that game, then you've got the Harvard showdown. And you know what? You can right the whole ship with three good weeks coming up. So I think there's a lot we're going to find out pretty soon over these next 2 to 3 weeks. But in some years, you've looked at, like, hey, this game in week eight, this game in week nine, that's going to decide the Ivy League. The Ivy League's going to be decided kind of on a week-to-week basis, and I think this is setting up for a fun Ivy season. Let's go now to our final segment, interview with the outside linebackers coach, Mike Mendenhall. He's done a terrific job, especially with that rush linebacker position, the play of Mike Wagner, the play of Joe Percival this season. He also is the position coach for Quincy Wolfe, who has been, you know, just a consistent player in this starting lineup for the last couple years. Let's hear now from Mike Mendenhall. Mike, before we look at kind of the defense in general and where it is after 3 weeks, your focus is on outside linebackers, and I think one of the guys that has really stood out to me defensively this season has been Mike Wagner. He's somebody who I know we saw last year and made some impact, but now multiple sacks in the last two games, and you know, especially with the depth issues on the line right now, I felt like his performance really has been important over these last couple weeks.
Yes, it definitely has. I think his role, he stepped up his role. He stepped up his playmaking ability, and I think it's just him being a veteran, him being around the game, understanding our scheme, playing faster. You know, he's very technically sound in what he does, and he's just elevating his game, and I think that's what you're seeing from Mike. And so it's good to see a guy that's a junior. That's what you want. You want guys like him to play at a high level, being a junior in our scheme, having been in the system. So it's great to see. I think he can continue to step up his role, step up his playmaking ability when we call upon him, and I think he's responding to that, and we're challenging him to be better. I think he still has some even room for some improvement, and just continue to get better there. So
I have to think same is true for somebody like Joe Percival, who you know has been called in on more of the pass rush situations, but he's been, you know, a threat in the backfield. You know, we saw the sack against San Diego, and I think he's really kind of caused some havoc. Where can his game go to?
He's disruptive. I mean, he's quick. He's very strong as well. He's very disruptive in the backfield, whether it's in the run game, whether it's in the pass game. He's very slippery in that sense. He's just got to continue to elevate his game. I mean, when we call upon him at the end of the day, and I think he's shown that he has done that, you know, and has made some plays, getting off of blocks, getting to the quarterback, hitting the quarterback, you know, just being very disruptive. I think he just has to continue to do mm-hmm. that. I don't know if there's anywhere he needs to improve.
Just kind of all around.
Yeah, just you know, I think he's got to continue to do what he's doing, being disruptive.
You know, I think it's easy for fans to see, you know, the sacks and the guys who get in the backfield and rush the quarterback. I think at times it's tougher to see the good things that Quincy Wolfe does, because he's been that kind of solid player at the strong side position. But having a senior that you can depend on, especially with all the youth on this defense right now, how important is it to know that guy's going to be in the right spot every time?
Very important. Very important. He's very sound. Like I say, he's another guy that's been in the system a long time. He gets it. Very smart. He's always going to be in position. He's never really – it's very rare he's out of position. He's very technically sound. You know, he kind of gets it, reads his keys well, understands defense, understands just the game, you know, understands football, and is puts himself in position to make the plays that he's in position to make when it's there, when he's called upon. So he's done very well. I think he's got to continue to elevate his game as well.
Right.
I think he's one that continues to play even faster. I constantly challenge these guys to, you know, elevate your game even more. You know, you think you're there, you think you've got it, but we need to step it up even further. And we're not asking you to step out of the box and right. stay within the framework of the defense. But just continue to play with more energy, a little bit more desire, a little bit more passion out there. And I think that's what really elevates guys' games, feeding off each other.
Through 3 weeks, we knew before the season you have young guys in a bunch of spots, especially in that defensive backfield, and that communication breakdowns would happen. Obviously, we saw it on Saturday, and in a situation like that in the last couple of minutes, that costs you a game, and it's tough to go through that. But, you know, you've been in the sport long enough that you know when you put young guys out there, you're going to have to deal with those issues. Now, how do you build off of that? What are you seeing from them in practice this week? And do you feel like now that we've moved past that, you're going to be able to grow from it and this defense can improve?
We will grow. There's no doubt. There's no doubt we're going to grow from it. You got to learn from it. You got to move on. You got to have a short memory here, but you do have to learn from the mistakes that we've made, and we're definitely going to be better for it. I think just like anything, you got to go through some things. You got to learn the hard way, sort of thing. We're going to continue to grow. I think those guys, I think we've just challenged them to elevate. It starts in practice. Elevate our game in practice. Challenge them in practice a little bit further, whether it's the scout team giving those guys a better look. But that's where it starts in practice. I think we've the sense of urgency, and holding these guys accountable and continue to hold these guys accountable. I think they're going to respond. You know, I think they've had. Yesterday was a really good practice on Tuesday. So they're going to learn from it. They're going to grow from it. There's, you know, and just like anything, you got to go through something. You got to go through some adversity to learn from it. And you usually can't make the same mistakes.
It seems that Saturday they're going to get another test. You know, you had two terrific receivers for Columbia. Georgetown has another guy who, you know, already over 300 receiving yards on the season. Looks like, you know, he's in an offense that has had its struggles over the last 3 weeks. He looks like the big play threat on that unit.
Yes. He's got some playmaking ability. He's probably going to be a guy they're going to look to go to. They're going to test this early, as he probably should. But at the end of the day, I think it's about us. I think that's where the focus has been. It's about us correcting our mistakes, our technique issues, whatever it may be. I think if we continue to just focus on ourselves to execute the defense the way it's supposed to be, we'll be in position to stop those guys and stop an excellent receiver. It's our job, obviously, as coaches to put those guys in position. But it's all about execution. I think we got to execute better. I think when you execute, we'll eliminate explosive plays. We'll eliminate a receiver that has some playmaking ability. You know, and that's our job as coaches, put themselves in position. We'll give them the correct call. They got to execute it. So,
thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Saturday's game, a 1 o'clock start against Georgetown, can be seen live on both Watch ESPN and the Ivy League Network. It will also be televised on the NBC Sports Philadelphia channel locally. That's formerly CSN Philadelphia. So check your local listings, see if you get that. You can also listen to it on WPRB 103.3 or on the Princeton Tigers TuneIn app. Thank you for listening to the Original 11.